Yesterday we discussed Masechet Kinim, and I know I'm not going to be here tomorrow, and next week already is the beginning of Masechet Tamid, and Thursday is Lag BaOmer, so I want to devote today to Lag BaOmer, to discuss some Inyoni Machshava on Lag BaOmer. Tomorrow you're going to speak Lag BaOmer? Okay, so good, so we'll have 2 days of Lag BaOmer. Hopefully I won't say what you're going to say.
Steak of the
Yom. Steak of the Yom. I want to share with you a few short ideas on Lag BaOmer. The first idea, Yoy Ma'arichta. Okay, the first idea, Lag BaOmer is associated with the Yom Hilula of Rashbi, Rabban Shimon ben Yochai. We have a tradition that his Petira took place on Lag BaOmer. I vaguely remember hearing a shiur a number of years ago, and I don't know, years ago, but a while ago, that's not so simple. All right, when exactly he died, there are different mamori chazal, different indications, but in any event, it was the day at least when he began to depart. His departure from this world was very was complex, and it was the day when he instructed that the Zohar be put in print, be put in words. His teaching should be recorded for Klal Yisrael, for all future generations. And whatever it is, it's a day that is associated with the life and death of Rabban Shimon ben Yochai. Some learn, some have a tradition that he was born on Lag BaOmer, but that's not so simple. It seems more, there are more sources that indicate that he was born on Shavuos. But in any event, it is a day devoted to Rashbi. Now, if you read some of the literature stories, what is Rashbi famous for? He's famous for many things. But many people go to his kever to be mispalu for children. This is a very, very big thing. They come and they menadev yayin and neros, and they mevakeish Rashbi should poil in shemayim that they should merit to have for children. So this is a very common idea. This is something which we find all over in all of the various stories. Why is that so, that Rashbi is associated with this idea of a bakasha for banim? So first of all, the bakasha for banim is really one of the main forms of tefillah that we find. For example, on Rosh Hashanah, what is the Haftarah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah? It was the Tefillah of Chana, Tefillah of Chana. What was Chana Mispal for? She was Mispal for a child, for Shmuel, who ultimately became Shmuel, was born from her Tefillah. She went to Eli Akoin thought there was a Shikora, and she told, no, I'm a Kesherah, and so on and so forth, the Bakasha for Tefillah. So I want to first tell you a little bit of the history of the birth of Rashbi, and it's not really related so much to Rashbi's Lag BaOmer, but I think it gives a little bit more appreciation to why is it so that we are mispalel, that it is a place that we are mispalel for children. In fact, that's whatever the minig is. People go to Meron, and on Lag BaOmer they give their child a haircut. They bring children. It is a day where children celebrate. We celebrate the birth and the chinuch of children to mitzvahs. So let's discuss the history of the birth of Rashbi. There's a legend. It's brought down in a number of svarim. How was Rashbi born? Rashbi's father's name was Yochai, Shimon Bar Yochai. Bar Yochai comes from a very gesundheit. In the Yuchastika family, Shevet Yehuda, he comes from David HaMelech, and he was married to a woman whose name was Sarah. Also came from great lineage. And it seems that Yochai and Sarah did not have children for many, many years. And it came to the point where Yochai, we have to understand this in ancient times, not the way we live today, he was contemplating divorcing his wife, Sarah, or taking a second wife so that he can have Zerah Shel Kayama. And of course, Sarah was distraught, and she was mispala. And the Medrash, or the legend, tells us that she was mispala bitter tears. And it came a point where it was Rosh Hashanah, just like Chana, the Haftarah of Chana. Chana l'choy went, was in Spal in Rosh Hashanah, and Yochai had a dream. In his dream he saw an old man coming to an orchard, and in the orchard there were many trees, some trees that were fruitful, and there were many dry trees, dead trees. And this person, he had a big container of water, and he watered some of the dry trees, he watered, and some he didn't water. And then he came to a certain tree where Yochai was leaning on. He was leaning on this tree, and he put down his big flask of water, took out of his pocket a little canteen, and watered this tree, the dry tree on which Yochai was leaning, and suddenly it produced the most beautiful fruit. That was the story. Yochai wakes up, he tells his wife the dream, and he tells his wife, L'chore, this is the interpretation of the dream. The orchard of the trees represent the people. Ki'adam eitz ha'sadeh. Most people have children, but there are people who don't have children. There are many dry trees. And some of the dry trees are blessed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides at a certain point in time they should have children. That's why this person, Eliyahu HaNavi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whoever it was, he watered some of the dry trees. Some of them he watered, some they didn't water. The ones that he watered indicated that this tree will now produce fruit. But then he came to my tree, the tree that I was leaning on. And that refers to you, his wife. And his wife did not have children. In the mashal, she was the dry tree. He took out a flask of water and poured it on the roots of the tree, and suddenly it blossomed. This is a simin that you, my wife, will be blessed with beautiful children in the very near future. But there's only one thing I don't understand about this dream. Why did he water my dry tree with a canteen from his pocket instead of watering it from this large container that he used for the other dry trees in the area? I can't figure this part out. He was so disturbed that Yochai went to visit his colleague Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was a contemporary of Yochai. We know that Rabbi Shimba Yochai, the son of Levi Bun, was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. He went to visit Rabbi Akiva, and he told Rabbi Akiva the dream. Rabbi Akiva told him, I'll tell you the pshat in the dream. The flask of water, all the other trees were watered. The Hashem decided they should have children, so there was a special flask of water, which was the Kayacha of Hailada, and it was watered. But your tree was watered not with Hashem's water, because it's impossible for your wife to have children. The water that was used were the tears, the collection of tears that your wife cried as she was mispalel for a child. It was a special koyach hatfilah that was the source, the cause of your wife's ability, the miracle that will occur for her to have children. That's why it was a special canteen, a collection of her tears. Kachava, a short time later, on Shavuos, or on Lag BaOmer, a child was born to Yochai and Sarah, and they named him Shimon, al shem ki shoma Hashem tefilasi. Hashem heard my prayer. Okay, this is a popular legend. The details, interesting, is it true, is it not true? We assume it's true. I don't really know the details, that it's a midrash, a legend. But this is what is a common, story about the birth of Yochai. It's interesting because you're dealing with, it's not everyone knows that his mother was an Akara. Yochai's mother's name was Sarah. She was an Akara. There was a possibility that he would have divorced her or taken another wife. She did not give up. She was mispalel. And her tefillos were on a level on it. And in this dream we learned that the tefillah was so unique that in the dream it was collected, her tears were collected in a unique flask, and from that flask the roots were watered, produced beautiful fruit, and his whole name Shimon comes from the name Shoma Hashem Tefilasi. Yochai is a product of tefillah. His whole existence is a product of tefillah. Now what I wanted to say, a vart, is not necessarily related to Lag BaOmer, just a beautiful vart in and of itself, but I think it brings out more of an appreciation for Yochai. Let's go to Shmuel. Shmuel, you know, was also a product of tefillah. Chana prayed with bitter tears for a child. We know Chana and Penina. Penina had a number of children. Chana had no children. Her co-wife Penina would cause her tsar. Where are you going? Why don't you come with me? We'll buy some clothing for the children. oh, you don't have children. Forgot about that. She angered her. She was mispalel, bitter tears, and a miracle happened. She had a child. What happened a few years later? She promised Eli, if I will have a child, shohu la Hashem. He will be borrowed to Hashem. He will be devoted to Hashem. After 2 years, she brought him to Shmuel, to Eli, to serve, to learn the kahuna. And what happened? One day, there was a shayla, if a zor is allowed to do shechita. There were not enough kohanim available to do shechita. And Shmuel, the student, paskin the halacha, shechita k'shera b'zor. Shechita k'shera b'zor, it's okay. It was moira halacha bifnei rab. It was not his place to paskin this halacha. He should have asked Eli. And therefore, what is the halacha? Moira halacha bifnei rabo, chayv misa. And he had upon him a death sentence. Whether it was a death sentence by the other, the Shemaim, that's not clear, but he was Chayiv Misa. Who comes to his rescue? Chana. And Chana says, how could it be that you will allow my child to die, either spiritually, physically, don't you remember, I am that woman who years ago came and prayed bitter tears, and you suspected that I was a Shikora, I was Kshera, and you told me, you gave me a bracha that I will have a child. So he said, you're right, I promise you'll have a child, but he has sinned. He was merlach b'fnei rabba. He will die. And as far as my promise, do not worry, you'll have another child. You'll have another child. What did Chana say? El hanar hazeh hispalalti. So what does that mean? So there's a very beautiful word from Rabbi Yochanan Lubavitch. He says, you'll give me another child. If you'll give me another child, that will come from your bracha. Shmuel is a product of tefillah. How did Shmuel come into this world? It's only because I was mispala. It's only through my koyach hatfila. El hanar hazeh hispalalti. If you'll give me another child, it's not because of my koyach hatfila. It's because you're Baal Meifes. It's because you made a promise that I'll have a child, and now that child has to die, so you'll give me another child, but the new child that's going to come into the world is not going to be a direct result of my tefillah. It's not worth anything. That child will not accomplish anything great in this world. Because a human being, or anything for that matter, that comes into this world mikoyach hatefillah, because a person is makir, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's nothing that can match. There's nothing on that level that is unique, that is special. It's irreplaceable. And because of this, Shmuel was moichel. There's a halacha. A Rebbe is allowed to be moichel on his kavod. Is indeed allowed to be moichel. And Shmuel did not die. He survived, and everything was good. Now, to supplement this part, this goes even further. What's the sin of being moir halacha b'fnei rabba? It's gaiva. The whole essence of the Merach, this is the Rebbe, you're the student, know your place. Every person has to know, don't krich where you don't belong. You have to know your place. And yet he was Moichelin. Now we have many examples in Chazal where we just learned last week with Rabbi Eliezer, and also it was also with Rashi, and with Rabbi Lozar. We learned the whole sugya
with the queen, with the
shade, with the sugya. This moir halacha. Very rarely, we don't generally find the Rebbe being moichel on his cover, because the Rebbe is not necessarily allowed to. If it's not for the good of Klal Yisrael, the lesson has to be taught. Gaiva has no makom. There has to be humility, and it's very rare to find a Rebbe to be Meichel Al's Kavod in a situation where the breach of Kavod was in the category of Moira Halacha B'fnei Rabba. Why then here was Eli Meichel on his Kavod and allowed him to live? So the answer I saw at this game, that supplements this, the same exact part, is because Shmuel's essence, his existence, is only because he was a product of Tefillah. Tefillah by nature is cool. It's complete submission. What is tefillah? When a person is mispalel, they mevatel themselves. In order to succeed in tefillah, there can't be a shemetz, even a small mashahu of gaiva. This is what tefillah is. Being that Shmuel's existence, the only reason why he came into this world is because he was a product, of tefillah, it's a raya. It's a clear indication that when he paskin the halacha shchita kasher bizar, he did not mean to do so with gaiva, that I want to go show up the Rebbe. It was a mistake. It was a pure mistake that he was too quick to paskin. The whole essence of Shmuel is that he's a product of tefillah. And what is tefillah? Tefillah is humility. It's submission. It is the complete opposite of gaiva, of being mor halacha b'fnei rava. And that is why indeed Eli was able to be moichel Shmuel. Another addition to this avar I saw, I don't remember where I saw this, is that what did he paskin? Shchita k'sher bizar. What's the next avodah? The first talk is Kabbalah. Shchita, Kabbalah, Halacha, Zrika. The avoda of the Kohen begins with Kabbalah. So he was saying is that Shchita, the Torah wants Kohuna, service to HaKadosh. Kohuna represents the service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It begins with Kabbalah. That itself is a Halacha of humility. So, being that the halacha that he was mer b'fnei rabo is a halacha that of Kabbalah. Kabbalah means to accept. You accept the blood. In the broader sense, it represents the idea that you are a servant. I'm just accepting. I'm not doing an action. And this, the way you serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants a kohen, wants kahuna. It begins with Kabbalah. And what happens before shchita, that's not part of the kahuna. That's not part of serving Kadosh Baruch Hu. The halacha itself was a halacha of humility, and that's why he was spared. It is another indication that he did not mean to show up the Rebbe, to have chutzpah, gaiva, mar halacha b'fnei rabo, and that's why Eli indeed was allowed to be moichel. But the essence is, we see from Eli, fast, this whole idea put together, is that Shmuel was a product of tefillah. And because he was a product of tefillah, everything was different. El Hanar Hazeh Hispalalti. He is irreplaceable. When it came to the halacha being mar halacha b'fnei rabo, it's not shaykh that he should have chutzah to be mar halacha b'fnei rabo. His whole existence is only because he's a product of tefillah, which by essence is humility and is not gaiva. Rashbi is the same thing. Why is it that Rashbi, a person is not kara, run to Rashbi, Meron, Rashbi, why? Because Rashbi is a product of tefillah. Rashbi is a product of an Akara. His mother, Sarah, was an Akara. According to this Medrash, this legend, it was not shaykh for her to have children. The flask of water that watered other trees would not work for him. It was only because his mother cried bitter tears, and those tears were collected in a flask, and that flask was applied to the roots of the tree, was he born? Did he come into existence? His whole essence is Ham El Hanar Hazeh Hispalalti. He himself is a product of a tefillah which has done the impossible to bring into this world a child that otherwise would have not have been have the merit to come into this world. Memele, he is the person to go to seek children. He is the person to go to when a person is in need of tefillah. He is the koyach of tefillah. And Lag B'Omer, what is the one of the minhagim of Lag B'Omer to throw bows and arrows? Why bows? Well, there are many reasons. What's a bow and an arrow? You go out into the field, you give children bows and arrows. Today you can't even do this because it's dangerous. You have to. But generally, what is a bow and arrow? What's this minhag? Are you familiar with this? Lag B'Omer, what's... Yeah. So there are many interpretations. One interpretation is it refers to children, because it says in the Pasuk, Kichitzim Talmidim. Children and Talmidim, Kichitzim B'yad Gibar Kein B'nei Han'urim. Like arrows, Pasuk, like arrows in the hand of the Gibar, so are the B'nei Han'urim, the young children. The koyach of the young children are like arrows. They can shoot far, they're sharp. They have a koyach to go a great distance. They can accomplish great things. The whole essence of Lag B'Omer is Rashbi, and Rashbi's koyach is as chinuch of children. He was a chas v'shom shloi posak Torah Yisrael. This same idea of children. That's one shot, but also refers to the koyach tefillah. We learn by Yaakov. In Yaakov, Avinu told to Ephraim and Menashe, told Yosef, I'm going to give you an extra portion of lena shalakachtim yad ha'mer becharvi uvikashvi. Cher and Keshes. And what does Chazal tell us? Cher refers to my koyach atzila. Targum says the koyach atzila. And what's the difference between cher and Keshes? Cher is sharp. That refers to a tzila b'tzibur. A sword. You don't have to apply much pressure. take out the sword and just wave the sword a little bit, it can cause great harm. That is a koyach of tefillah b'tzibur. Daven with a tzibur, even if you're not mechaved, you don't have such tifa kavanas. It works. Being part of the tzibur works. A keshes is a bow and arrow. You have to have precision. You have to aim the bow with perfect precision. It refers to a koyach ha-tzfil that comes with kavana. Lag ba-omer is the day of Rashbi. Rashbi is the product of tzfila, a tzfila of keshes. To be merames on this, the minig is to play around with bows and arrows, because ashalakachti and another chag of a kashti. What type of tzfila do we focus on a lag ba-omer? The tzfila of keshes. Now, okay, well, that's one idea. I want to discuss now, and then I'll come. Maybe come.
Question.
What?
Question.
Yeah.
If at all possible. Someone comes to the Rebbe.
Yeah.
He asks a shayla.
Yeah.
And the Rebbe says to the Talmud, Shmeril, what's the halacha? Is there any violation there of Shmeril?
No, if the Rebbe asks the Talmud, there's no violation of halacha of Nei Rabba. The Rebbe explicitly.
Isn't it a form of Michael Kvayde?
Absolutely. If the Rebbe asks the student what's halacha, then the Rebbe is, that's an obvious mechila on his kavod for the student.
Yes,
yeah, of course. It's only with the Talmud without it on his own answers the question before the Rebbe. That's the chutzpah of Malach with Neirah.
Another thing, this whole concept of tefillah and bracha.
Yeah.
If going a little bit into area of upper courses, if someone comes to a Rebbe.
Yeah.
For a bracha, he should say to the person, go home and be mispalel.
Say it again?
He should tell the person,
yeah,
the power of tefillah, go home and be mispalel. I don't give brachas.
Okay, it depends.
No, we learned here the power of
there is, yesh v'yesh. The Gemara says that if a person, I don't remember the exact details, but if a person has a problem in his home, whether it's a chayla, he should go to a chacham, and the chacham should teach him how to be mispala. We interpret this to mean, we should go to the chacham, the chacham should be mispala, give you a bracha. No, the chacham should teach the person how to be mispala. Tefillah is an art. It takes years to learn how to daven. It's not just, not everyone have an emergency, all of a sudden they now know how to daven. So they take a shortcut. You know how to daven, so I'm asking you to give me a bracha, you should be mispala my behalf. And I want to go to another idea, we'll touch upon what I said in a moment, just, this is an entirely different idea. And 99% of what I'm telling you now, it comes from Halekach VeHalavuv, from Rav Avraham Shur. I found it to be a fascinating insight into Lag BaOmer. And let me here is what he says. Lag BaOmer is in the Inyone Kabbalah, Hoid, called Hoid Shebehoid. I have no idea what that means. I have no idea what Teferis is, Yisod, Malchus. I have no idea. I like to say it. It sounds good to say it. To scream out, Netzach Shebehoid, Hoid Shebehoid. It sounds good. Okay, not everywhere I daven, in the real literature places, they don't say this. They're not into the Yoni Kabbalah. In the Hasidic places, or the lightweight Ashkenaz places, they say it. And good. I like to say it. I have no problem saying it, but I confess. I don't think I'm far behind from most other people. I have no idea what these things mean, but it's called Hoyt Shebehoyt. So Avram Shur says, where do we find this idea called Hoyt? Where do we find? Show me a place, something to work with. He knows what these things are, but where do we find that? We find by Moshe Rabbeinu. Chazal tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was zocha to karnei Hoyt, horns of hod, whatever hod is. I don't know what beauty, splendor, or hodah comes from hodah, to give thanks. Hodah, to give thanks, to admit. What?
The word hod is not in the text.
It's not in the text. It's a chazal. It's not a text. Of course not. Of course. But it's a chazal. It's Rashi brings it down every so often, and it's in the Gemara. Moshe Rabbeinu was zoche to what's called karneho. It's a chazal. Gemara, I don't have any source in front of me, but I'm sure you've heard this. Okay, I'm sure you've heard this, that Moshe's face shined. What did his face? They couldn't. So that's a pasuk. He put the masfer. His face shone. Why did it shine? Because of the horns of Hod. We don't know what these things mean. These are not physical things. We don't know what it means. But it does say these words in Chazal. That it does say. I'm just working with the building blocks that are available. When did Moshe Rabbeinu receive these mystical this mystical thing called Karani Halul. Chazal tell us that in Parashas Kisisa, after the Chet HaEgel, when Moshe went to Shemayim to be mispal for the Jewish people, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu the Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim, and Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Hareini No Es Kivodecha. I want to see you. I want to see what you look like. Hashem told Moshe, no, you cannot see what I look like. Ponai lo yero, achorai yero. You now can't see my front, but I'll show you my back. And I'm going to pass. You're going to hide yourself in the rock, in the cleft of the rock. V'hoya kasher yavar, Hashem will pass. Yalos v'psukim v'lein on the tiny sibar. Hashem shechina will pass. And Moshe Rabbeinu will see Hashem's back. And at that moment in time was when Moshe, when he saw the splendor of Kadosh Baruch from the back, he zoiched to the Karnei Hod. What these things mean, we have no idea. It's in the Torah, we learn this every so often, Tainus Sibar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Moshe, shows him the back, and Moshe receives, according to Chazal, the Karnei Hod. What exactly did Hashem show Moshe Rabbeinu? We also know. What's the back? The Kesher Shel Tzilin. The Kesher Shel Tzilin. Okay, now let's go further. In other words, the Karnei Hod is related to the Kesher Shel Tzilin. That's a fascinating concept. Without understanding anything, without any Kabbalah, Rav Avram Shur has revealed in this entire collection of Mamare Chazal, the Karnei Hod is something that is intertwined with the Kesher Shel Tzilin. So review. Hashem showed Moshe his honor at the time of Yigil Mitzarachanim, and Hashem, you'll see my back, which the Kesher and Chazal say, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu got the Karnei Hod, the horns of Hod. And what did Hashem show? The Kesher Tzvil? So Kesher Tzvil are the Karnei Hod. Okay, fine. Now let's go further. Everyone knows the famous Gemara on the end of Menachos. End of Menachos says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went to Shemayim, Hashem was teaching Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah. And then Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu Tagim. When Moshe arrived in heaven, Hashem was busy. Is in his office, Kaviyachal. And Hashem said, Moshe, come in, Moshe, come in, come in. And Moshe is standing there, and Hashem says, give me a few minutes, I want to finish up a couple of things here on my desk. And Moshe, what is Hashem doing? He's tying, he's being kosher, kisarim, crowns, on the oisiyos. He's tying crowns. And Moshe says, Moshe, excuse me, I have to finish this business. And Moshe says, what are you doing? What is this? This is the Torah. I'm tying crowns. So Moshe says, "Min akev al yadcha," which simply means, "Who needs the crowns? What are the crowns? You taught me the whole Torah." Moshe, you don't know what it means, but don't worry. Let me show you a fast forward. I'll show you an image of what's going to be. In many, many years from now, Rabbi Akiva is going to have Talmidim, and he's going to be darshaning, and he's going to teach them darshan tal talam shalalochos, the significance of every one of these crowns, the tag on the oisitz. Okay, that's the Gemara. Moshe Rabbeinu chalisha sadas. How could it be that I have a student, that there will be a person, a student, that when I'm the one who gives the Torah, doesn't know what this means, until Rabbi Akiva said, halacha l'moshe misinai. When he was teaching the Talam Shalachas, he mentioned that this halacha, how do we know it? We know it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was satisfied. That's the Gemara in a nutshell, in Masechta Menachos. Rav Avram Shua says, an amazing chiddush. This is amazing. Who are the oisiyos? What are the oisiyos that Hashem is writing? That Hashem is tying crowns. There's a medrash. Everyone knows this medrash, that there are 600,000 letters in the Torah, even though we have about half of that, okay? But that's what it says. And there are 600,000 neshamos in Klal Yisrael. Even though over the course of history there have been many, many millions or whatever the numbers are. Much more than 600,000. So it's a Kabbalistic concept. There are 600,000 neshamos, and neshama can be divided among many people over many generations, whatever that means. But there is a correlation in the Chazal between the oisiyos and the neshamos of Klal Yisrael. Every neshama is an ois in Hashem's Sefer Torah. Every Hashem was kosher keser. On Rosh Chodesh, do you wear tefillin when you daven musaf? No, why not? So if you're an Ashkenazim, you don't daven. Ashkenazim is because it's a Yom Tov, and a Yom Tov is an ois. We bring a carbon musaf. If you're svar, nusach svar, you don't need to come on to this. Keser yitnu lecha. There's only one. Ribbono shel Olam is the keser. The Melo, we take off our keser. Tefillin is a keser. When you talk about Hashem's keser, it's covered. All the kings, they gave cover to Yaakov Avinu. They took off their crowns and they put it on the coffin of Yaakov. Keser yidulcha, you take off your crown. Hashem is the only keser. That's nusach svar only. But the idea is true: is that tefillin is a keser, it's a crown. Moshe Rabbeinu saw Hakadosh Baruch Hu tying crowns, kosher, kisarim, and all the oisios. Moshe Rabbeinu saw Hashem tying the tefillin of the keser on all of the neshamos of Klal Yisrael. Hashem is very big into tefillin. He showed Moshe Rabbeinu the keshel tefillin, and Nochamoth, he's showing Moshe Rabbeinu the kshira. Hashem is showing Moshe Rabbeinu him tying the keser, which is tefillin, on the oisios, on the neshamos of Klal Yisrael. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu saw. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I don't understand what it's all about. What it's all about? There'll be a person, Rabbi Akiva. He'll understand what this is about. And all really comes back. Yalach and Moshe Mesinai. Now I want to take one step back. Tefillin. What are tefillin? Tefillin, this is not in Rav Avraham Shur. This is different, but it all ties into what he says. What are tefillin? Tefillin to a certain degree represents Hester Panim. Tefillin are black. Hey, even though it's not required, the ritzus have to be black, the batim do not necessarily have to be black, but the minig is they're black. Tefillin represents a concept of the anochi haster aster panai. The parshios, or the shemos of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, they're wrapped in parchment, and then they're put into the tefillin. The shem Hashem is hidden, a double level of concealment. The anochi haster aster panai bayom. It's hester panim. When you put tefillin on your head, you tie tefillin, what you're doing is, of course, you're putting the Shem Hashem, V'ro kol amres Shem Hashem nikolecha, but tefillin also represent the concept, the pintel yid concept. Every person is attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very deep way. It's not necessarily revealed, because on the tefillin you don't see the Shem Hashem, you see the Shin, but it's not, it sits, Kodesh LaHashem. Tefillin has Hashem's name, but it's buried deep, deep within the parchments. It's sealed. It's sewed up. It's in thick parchment. And the parashos themselves, before they're put inside Al Pi Halacha, must be wrapped. It's a double wrapping. And this you tie to your head. Lamant, there's a zikor, lamantia, teres, shemficha. Tefillin represents that you can't hide. Deep down in your neshama, you're a makusha, you're attached to the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a kesha, there is something, you're attached. What is hod? What is hod? Karni hod? We just said. It's the kesha shel tefillin. What is hod sheba hod? It's like aster aster panai. It's double level. It means no matter how hard you try to remove the pintel yid, it's indestructible. It's yimakusha, you're attached. It's there. Every single person has that spark of kedusha. He is mekusha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu showed. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu. Every ois of the Torah, every Jew, is mine. Can't get away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No matter how hard you try to get away from me, you'll always come back. There's always that spark of sanctity. You may not understand this, Rabbi Akiva will. Rabbi Akiva, what happened to Rabbi Akiva? He had the 24,000 Talmidim, they all died. Lag BaOmer, more than the day that they died, this is discussed at great length by many, many in Farshim, more than the fact that they died, Lag BaOmer is the day when Rabbi Akiva started again. The Talmidim died, they stopped dying, so what do I have now? I have nothing. No Talmidim. Give up, call it quits. No. It was on this day that he took 5 new Talmidim. He learned from the mistakes of the other 24,000 Talmidim. We're going to start again. We're going to rebuild. We have nothing. The Talmidim have stopped. It's Choshech V'Afela. The 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, the pride and joy of Klal Yisrael, the future of Klal Yisrael is gone. There's nothing. It is a day of incredible hesterponim. Doesn't matter. In that hesterponim, there are sparks of Kedusha, and we're going to start all over again. We're going to extract those sparks, and we're going to rebuild. We're going to rebuild from the beginning. This is what to rebuild. This is all the Kesher Shel Tefillin. The Kesher Shel Tefillin brings ties to that hidden Kedusha that is there, brings it out. This is the Inyan of Hod Shebehod. The Hod Shebehod is the Kesher Shel Tefillin. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu. He's showing being Mekasher Tagim on Kesarim. Hashem was Kesher, the way Hashem refers to the Tagim, the crowns, is Kesher Kesarim on the Osios. Hod Shebehod. This is a little bit, and that is really what Rashbi is all about. What is Rashbi? Rashbi is Chas v'sholem shedeshtakach Torah in Yisrael. That's one of his famous Amari Chazal, that even in the darkest times, there's always going to be a spark. There's always going to be some spark of Kedusha from which Klal Yisrael will rebuild. Chas v'sholem shedeshtakach Torah in Yisrael. That's why Rashbi, you find by the Kever Rashbi, people who are very distant. Rashbi is the koach to bring out that Pintel Yid to realize the potential, the dormant Kedusha, and bring it to blossom. So this is another idea I found to be interesting. A lot to think about, put together a little bit more, but it's most of it comes from Avram Shruck. Okay, so we'll leave with that. Have a wonderful day tomorrow in Lag BaOmer. Enjoy the shiur. And I'll see you on Friday, 9:30.